It's important that you understand that. Kids, let me see you. Elementary age kids, look at me, all right? Teenagers, look at me. The reason why you're in service this morning, this is your church. This isn't just the adults' church, this is your church. And a lot of times we're, you know, kids are down on that wing and students are down on this wing and, you know, adults are in here, teenagers are in here on Sunday mornings too. But we can kind of get to where it's like, we just kind of break the church up into all these different segments, but the reality of it is that God intends for all of us to be together. He intends for us to grow together. So at the very beginning of the church, Jesus had come and he had lived, and then he had been crucified and he had been buried, and he didn't stay in the grave. He was resurrected, and then he spent some time with his followers, and then he ascended into heaven. And when he ascended into heaven, all the followers of Jesus started praying. And then one day we're told that the Spirit of God came on them, that God filled them with his Holy Spirit, and they began speaking in other languages that they didn't even know, and they went out into the streets, and they were declaring all these amazing things about God in all these different languages, and people were confused what was going on, and they were asking, what is this that's happening? And Peter, one of the early leaders of the church, he said this, he quoted from an Old Testament prophet whose name is Joel. Is anybody named Joel here this morning? Let me see. Anybody? Do we have a Joel? That's close, all right? That's good. Any Joels? No, not in first service either. Okay. You're nervous that I'm going to like pull you up in front of the crowd if you raise your hand. I wouldn't. So Peter gives an explanation. They're wondering what's happening. And he quotes from an Old Testament prophet, Joel. And here's what the prophet Joel said. This is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. It will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all humanity, everyone. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. This is when the church was born. This is when the church started. And at the moment of the church starting, everybody's included. Is the church for old people only? No. All right? Anyone who's in here, I won't call you old people. If you are of the elderly persuasion, okay? If you are older than middle age, we'll put it that way, okay? Is the church only for young people? No. Is the church only for young marrieds that have 2.4 children? No. The church is for everyone, and it doesn't matter what age you are, it doesn't matter from the youngest age all the way up to the oldest age. The church is for you. We all have a role to play, and we don't just have a role to play, we're God designed us to work together. He designed us to be in relationship with one another. And we're going to discuss that this morning. We're going to talk about the way that our relationships from generation to generation work. And so to get us started, Pastor Brett's going to come and he's going to share.
That, there we go. can you turn me down just a little bit, Cody? Just a smidge, turning me down just a little bit. Thank you. Otherwise, I'll get so distracted and I'll start saying beautiful morning every morning for the rest of the mornings. I know this is big church, and so I'm the youth pastor, and I was like getting advice on how to like relate to you guys. So I actually brought like my briefcase, which this is probably the only time I'm ever going to use one of these ever. And inside it is kind of some attire. So bear with me as I get dressed and get ready for this. My wife picked out the outfit, so if you don't like it, blame her. So thanks, babe. I can't even get a briefcase open. Help. Okay, I'm going to put this down. Okay, is that okay? Thanks. There we go. All right, so I picked out a nice sport coat. How do I look? Is this good? All right. All right. I also, we got a tie, and I don't know how to tie one, so just bear with me real quick. I'm going to try my best, all right? Is that good? Do I look good? Okay. I have some spectacles. Here we go. Some real 3D glasses. Because you're not serious until you got some specs. Am I good? Are we ready to hear the word this morning? All right. I'm going to try my best to preach the word with these on. I didn't do it for a service because they were too distracting, but I'm going to power through. Okay. So anyway,
I'm the youth pastor of CLF. We have this thing called Uncommon on Wednesday nights, and we have a lot of our uncommon students and leaders in here. Raise your hand if you're an uncommon student or leader in this place. Represent. Their shirts are really cool. I know. Sweet. We do this thing that you're going to kind of be able to pick up on, and so I expect all you uncommon students and leaders to do this. If you have your Bibles, as you should. Isn't that good? That's so good. All right, so flip open your Bibles, if you have them, to 1 Timothy. We're going to do 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 real quick. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of our God, our Savior, and Christ, Jesus, our hope. And here's my favorite part. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And so here we have Paul, the apostle Paul, widely considered the best apostle or evangelist in history, right? And he's pouring into this young man, Timothy. And he's pouring into him what he believes to already be in him. He's trying to pull things out. And what we can get from this discipling relationship is that Timothy goes on to lead one of the churches in the early church era, right? He actually leads one of the churches in one of the most un-Christ-like, if you will, cities in the early church era, Ephesus. It was crazy. I don't even want to get into the stuff they did. But he's this young man, probably around my age, and Paul is older than him, and he's, you know, lived some life, and he's going, hey, this is your job, right? We can see from their dialogue in that relationship that that is how a discipleship relationship should occur. It still, to this day, serves to us as an example and a reminder of how we should disciple one another, right? And in 1 Timothy 4:12, it goes on to say, and many of you will recognize this verse, it goes on to say, do not let anybody look down on you because you're young. How many of you have heard that verse before? I know you young people have, right? It's a popular verse to preach to young people, right? Because Timothy was a young man. Well, I don't think that verse would have held much weight if it wasn't being... I can just see people giving me like the weirdest looks right now, so I'm going to help you out. It wouldn't have held much weight if it wasn't being reinforced by someone older than him, right? And so Paul is sitting here with his true son in the faith, right? And he's looking at him. He's going, look, I have lived some life. I have made tremendous mistakes. But you are young. Do not let anybody make you believe that you are not capable of doing great and mighty things. And I think that's so cool. And take Jesus and Peter. You guys know Jesus and Peter, I hope, right? The Apostle Peter. I find it so funny that Jesus called Peter a rock long before Peter was stable and mature. We know the if you read the New Testament, you can kind of get an idea of the mistakes that Peter made. Jesus, being the Son of God, knew that Peter was going to what? Deny him how many times? Three times. Jesus knew that. But instead of highlighting that at first, what does he do? He says, on this rock I will build my church, and he's talking about Peter. And see, that's so cool because our God leads us by speaking what's in us. He speaks to what's in us instead of highlighting our failures. And I think that is just so telling on how to disciple other people. You know they're going to fail you, right? But you still speak to what's inside you, just as Paul did to Timothy and Jesus did to Peter, right? Life-changing discipleship does not occur from explosive spurts of growth or movements from people, right? It doesn't occur that way. Life-changing discipleship happens from agricultural growth, right? We have so many leaders in this place who see students as trees while they're still seeds, right? We see them as trees because we know what they're capable of and what they could grow into. And so we want to speak into that to pull that out of them, right? We have youth leaders. This is so cool. Is Carol Schultz in the room? She was in first service? Okay. We have youth leaders on our team, get this, who are over 80 years old. Like, I'm not even joking. All the youth leaders are my hero, but I'm going, you're 80 years old and you're still relating to people who are 16. And so any thought that you're not cool enough or you can't do it or you can't relate to the younger generation, it's a lie. You can't. We have youth leaders in this room who were youth leaders when Pastor Jeff was a teenager in this very church, right? That was like 30 or 50 years ago. I don't remember how long ago that was, but I'm just saying, like, seriously, like, anyway. he was, you know, a youth in this church, and they are still youth leaders on our team, right? And now he's co-leading this church with his wife, and they're doing a great job. That is how discipleship should occur, right? Because the youth don't need someone who is, actually, I'm going to get to that later. We have this thing called student leadership in Uncommon. And me and my wife invited them all over to our living room. There was 15 or so youth who were leading the charge, and a lot of them are sitting amongst you today. And we asked the question. We said, I want you guys to go around, and I want you to name a person who has had the most profound impact on your life. And the leaders who were there can attest to this. Nearly every single one of them, guys, they didn't say their youth pastor. I would have liked that, right? They didn't say someone cool at their high school, the homecoming king or whatever. You know, what they said was this. They said my mom, my dad, my grandparents, or my guardian. That was the four key areas that they mentioned were the people who had the most profound impact on their life. And so they don't need a skinny jean wearing youth pastor with cool clothes or whatever to relate to them. They do not need that. What they need is that 80-year-old leader who has been through life and has said, I have lived some life. I have made tremendous mistakes. But do not let anybody look down on you because you're young. That is where discipleship occurs, and I hope you hear that today. For me, right, I got saved about 17. When I was 8 years old, though, I'm at church. I decided to go to church with my grandparents, and they're actually watching online right now. So, hi. They take me to church with them. I'm an 8 year old, and I'm in an auditorium of about 400 people or so, similar to this one. And I hear the preacher preaching the message, and he's just preaching the gospel. He's just laying it out there for anybody, right? It was more of an evangelistic service, and I'm sitting there as an 8 year old, and I'm listening to what he's saying, and I'm believing what he's saying. I'm going, I don't quite understand everything, but I think this is relating to me, and I think I need this, whatever he's talking about. And so at the end of the service, you've probably heard this before, he says, everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. And, you know, you have the people who peek, right? And I'm doing this, and I'm listening, and he goes, if this message related to you, if you want to make the decision to make Christ your Lord here today, I want you to raise your hand. And me and all my maturity and all my splendor, I raised my hand as an 8-year-old in that room. Little did I know, I was the only person to raise my hand in front of 400 people, right? Check this out. He then proceeds to say, young man, I saw your hand. Everybody's still closing their eyes. Young man, I saw your hand. I want you to do something very brave and very bold. I want you to come down the middle aisle, and I want you to come stand in front of the altar, and we as a church are going to pray over you because we believe that God can do mighty things through you as a young person, right? And so I did, and I was like, okay, where's everybody else at? You know, I was alone in that, right? But I was able to do that, and I got prayed for, and the call of God started on my life when I was 8, and that wouldn't have happened if it weren't for the influence of my grandparents who were in their 70s at the time. Right? So all of you in here who are older than teenagers, right, adults, you have a part to play in this big plan we call the gospel. You have a part, okay? So any lie that you think you don't, let that be just, it's gone, okay? These young people in our church, do not underestimate the life-changing, purpose-giving effect you have on them, okay? You could be the key to their success one day. They are hungry and searching. They are ready and they're watching. And here's this, they are restless and they're willing, okay? It's right there, they're right there. They're a seed, they're ready to be a tree, okay? They're ready to start that growth. These young people, they're growing up in a post-Christian world, okay? And that's what I want you to hear tonight, or this morning. We don't live in a world where Christianity is at its core anymore, okay? You see, you watch, you know. They're growing up in a world where their parents probably didn't get raised in the church. Okay, it's a post-Christian world, and here we are expecting them to navigate this faith journey alone. It's not going to work. It's not going to work even if they have to rely on each other. The gospel demands that this discipleship relationship, this Paul, Timothy, this Jesus, Peter, this Brett's grandparents, Brett relationship occurs, okay? They're expected to do it alone, but they can't. They need the strong guiding hand of someone, an adult who has gone before them, who has experience, who's in it, wait for it, for the long haul, okay? Who's in it to see that student become a pastor of a church or to become a doctor or what have you, okay? So there's this great quote by Josh Shipp. It says this, every child is one caring adult away from being a success story. I believe that with all my heart, and actually I can see it every week happening in front of me. Some of these students that you hear playing drums, they don't come from, not all of them come from great situations. They've faced hardship, right? But our leaders pour into them week after week after week after week, and we're seeing the fruit of that, okay? So here's some action steps for you today. Actively pursue a discipleship relationship. We always tell our students, hey, make sure you have someone pouring into you. But how hard do you think it is for a student to go up to a random adult and say, hey, pour into me? It's probably not going to happen, but here's what happens. When an adult decides to take a student under their wing, life change begins to occur. Okay, so I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, okay? Because we know, we leaders, youth leaders in this room, know the hardships that our students face. They need you. They absolutely need you, okay? One more thing. Shameless plug, okay? I've mentioned this a few times. We had this thing on Wednesday nights called Uncommon Youth Ministries. We have a lot of great leaders, but we're growing. And we have every intention of outgrowing that room and moving into here and outgrowing this room. And just the movement keeps coming because people need Jesus, right? We need people to disciple students. And so if you have a call, if you feel like burden for this, even if it's you know, sponsoring a child to go to War Week, even if it's sponsoring a child to go to Blitz, a lot of the baptisms that you're going to hear are products of those events, right? Products of Jesus meeting those kids during those events. Please talk to me or talk to one of us pastors on staff or talk to a youth leader. Another shameless plug, Pastor Jen is on this end of the building. There's a lot of babies and smaller children in here today. She needs help too. She's got like 1,500 babies there on a Sunday morning, I don't know, screaming and you know, they do it. They do God's, anyway, they do great things, right? And she has some awesome volunteers, but she needs more. She needs people to rock babies and put up with that, okay? So help her out. Last thing. Here's the one thing I want to leave you with this morning. Find your Timothy, okay? There's so many Pauls in this room. There's so many people running the race, and frankly, you're doing a great job. A lot of you parents are just killing it in that game. Find your Timothy, though, because there's so many students out there who could be Timothys, but right now they have no idea who they are, what they're called to, and frankly, they don't have a purpose right now, and they need you, okay? So Pastor Jen's going to come up and speak. Thank you, guys.
Good job, Pastor. He's like the little bird that you just kicked out of the nest. You know, you did a good job. All right. So I'm Pastor Jen. I'm the kids pastor. I have the honor and the privilege of working on this staff and working with our kids. And Pastor Brett got adultified, so I'm going to speak to the teenagers today. So I feel like I need to get youthified. So if you'll give me just a second, I got to get ready here. And you all know that, I mean, you don't really need glasses, but you got to look trendy. So I'm going to have my cool hipster glasses on. And everyone knows that nothing truly happens unless it's posted on social media. So I'm going to take a selfie of all of us. And I don't really need a selfie stick because God blessed me with selfie stick arms. hashtag blessed. So what I need you guys all to do is I need you to do your best duck face and do your pose like this. Yeah, so Bonnie Lemke, you need a little bit more duck face. Come on, get it out. Ready? Here we go. And everyone say hashtag blessed. There we go. My poor kids are going to kill me. All right. Teenagers, where are you at? For real? Where are you? Oh, my goodness. Craziness. All right. Well, you guys are at this really awkward phase of life, and we know that, right? You got all kind of crazy changes happening, and we're not going to talk about those changes. It's not that kind of sermon, and we got little kids in here, but we know you got some stuff going on, and as a parent of a teenager, I can attest to you all have stuff going on. And you have all of this social media pressure. You have Instagram and Twitter, and for those of you that are still in old school, Facebook, right? And any other app that you have that I don't even know about. And not to mention, you are constantly getting conflicting messages from your parents. And I will attest, as like I said, I'm a parent of a 15-year-old and an almost 13-year-old, so your prayers are appreciated. But we're sending these conflicting messages to you. On one hand, when you do something really dumb, because we know you do, right? We look at you and you say, oh my goodness, you're so immature. What were you thinking? You need to start acting like an adult, right? And then on the other hand, when they come to us and they want more, like, to do something that we think they're not ready for, like driving to Chicago with friends, we look at you and say, you are not grown. You do not, no, you are not, you live in my house, need to obey my rules, you are not an adult. So we're saying, grow up, you're grown, right? You're not grown, right? It's these conflicting messages. But the thing is that despite the confusion and the craziness of being in this stage in your life, you all are in what I think is one of the most amazing spots in your life. You're in like this great ability to live out the true meaning of discipleship. In discipleship, as Pastor Brett alluded to, it's where you have someone ahead of you that is pouring into you, that is teaching you, that is guiding you and directing you. All the while, you are guiding and directing and leading someone else alongside of you to come behind you, right? Teenagers, right now, you are in that moment in their life. You have a generation that is ahead of you that is able to pour into you and to guide you and to lead you. But you also have a generation behind you that is looking to you for that guidance and leadership and to be poured into them, right? You guys are like the cream filling in the Oreo. You're like the best thing because everyone knows that's the best part of the Oreo, right? If you didn't have the cream filling, it would just be like two boring chocolate cookies that you just throw away, right? You guys are the best spot. And yet, you have it so much harder as teenagers than I did. And I know that's kind of conflicting as well because you hear us say all the time, you teenagers, you don't even know, right? I'm not talking about conveniences because if we're going to compare conveniences, when I was your age, if we had to do a book report, we couldn't just get on Wikipedia, right? We had to go to the library. You had to actually speak to the librarian. You had to actually look up something in the Dewey Decimal System, which I don't even know if you guys know what that is. And then you had to take out this big, huge encyclopedia that looked like my grandma's, like, old King James Version Bible, open it, and, like, actually have to decipher the difference between birds and badminton and, like, one thing. It's crazy. And then when you were done, you had to call your parents on a payphone that you had to push the buttons, pick up a phone that the entire community uses and pray you don't get diphtheria, and then have them come and pick you up. But my parents were so cheap that, like, they didn't even give me the quarter for the payphone. They told me, Jenny, that's what they called me, Jenny, just pick it up and call collect, and when they say, what's your name, say, pick me up in 5 minutes. So that's what I had to do. That was my life, okay? We had it harder than you in that aspect, right? But you guys have a much harder world right now because you have access to so much more temptation and darkness right at your fingertips. Satan has flung the door wide open to such a dark world for you at such an easier area. Now, there's a story in the Bible about Esther, and we're not going to get into, for time, the details of this story. But the gist of it was is that she was a young girl who was in a position of influence. And an evil man, he wanted to kill her and all, or not kill her, but kill the Jews, which she was Jewish. And she was the one who actually had the influence to save her people. She had the influence to save an entire generation who was going to come after her. And in the Bible, it says, Esther 4:14, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance from the Jews will rise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this. I look at you as teenagers and I say, like, right now, you are in a position for such a time as this. You are in a position to influence a generation behind you. You are in a position to be an example of who Jesus is, right? Just like I said that you had it tougher than I did as a teenager, can you imagine how much harder it's going to be for our younger kids now by the time that they're your age? They're going to have that much more access. They're going to have that much more darkness. Those doors that Satan has flung open are going to be completely wider than it was for you. They need you. Do you know, like Pastor Brett said, that the older generation in his youth ministry are the most effective leaders? In my ministry, in kids' ministry, the teenagers are the most effective ministry. They are the most effective leaders, the Luke Corsons and the Derek Coates. Those ones are the ones who are excited about Jesus. Our kids, they absolutely love to have the attention of you teenagers, right? They are copying all of your moves, whether you realize it or not. Their eyeballs are on you. They want to see you excited. They want to see you enter into worship. They want to see you serving. They want to see you loving Jesus. They want to see you being an example of who Jesus is.
And I really want to encourage you, don't remain silent. Just like that verse says, do not remain silent. You need to live a life that is worthy of other people repeating. Those eyeballs are all on you. And I know it's a lot of pressure, right? We're putting all this stuff on you like, oh my goodness, these people are watching me, and others, it's crazy, right? But it's really not as hard as you think. Because all you have to do is you need to continue to look to the generation that's ahead of you and be open to receive what God has given them for you. And you need to be an example of who Jesus is, right? We can't be prideful. Don't think that you can do it on your own. Like my kids all the time, I can do that. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. No, let them help you. They walked that tightrope before you. Listen to them. And at the same time, you need to be pouring and discipling and being an example to that generation behind you. Continue to focus your eyes on Jesus and take them alongside of you on that journey to Jesus. For such a time as this. And I'm going to end with this question for you. Are you willing to rise to the occasion, and are you willing to pave the way for the next generation?
Hey, I want to just make clear what we're talking about here this morning. It's not just about being a youth leader and about being a kids, like serving down in the kids wing, okay? It's a great way to engage in those ways that Pastor Brett and Pastor Jim were talking about, but we're talking in your everyday life with your own children, your own grandchildren, the people that you rub shoulders with in general, that we would behave that way. Okay, so Pastor Brett talked to the adults, and Pastor Jen, I just kicked somebody's glasses off. Pastor Jen spoke to the teenagers. I get the privilege of talking to the kids this morning, so I'm I need to like elevate my game. All right, so we're gonna make sure that you had I need you to be able to listen to me. I had some problems putting the cape on in first service. Let's see if I can cape up better. All right, where are the kids at? Where are my kids at? That was scary. Hey, where are my kids at? Is that better? I'm not used to. Okay. That was horrible. My wife's probably shaking her head. Okay. I'm powering up, okay? And I don't know if this is, I feel like this is not a real thing for the superhero, but I'm gonna wear it anyways. I don't know if I can actually preach with an eye mask on, but I'm afraid if I take it off, they'll know my true identity. Okay. All right. That's a little bit better. How many of you kids have ever climbed a fence? Anybody? You're not going to get in trouble. You can be honest. How many of you ever climbed a fence that you were not supposed to climb? Okay, one time when I was in elementary school, when I was a kid, I loved creeks. Except for I called it a crick because I grew up here. Who calls it a crick? Let me see your hands. Who calls it a creek? Let me see your hands. Okay, so it's a product of me growing up here then. All right, so it was a crick. And I loved cricks, and every year when I would get done with school, at the end of the school year, my mom would say, okay, those shoes that were your school shoes are now your cricking shoes. And there's a crick by my house, and you can just slap through the mud, and you can destroy those shoes. Those are your shoes. You can do with them whatever you want. And I loved it, and I would catch frogs, and I would play in the creek and all this other stuff. At my school, there was this creek that was just on the other side of the fence. And one day, I thought, you know what? It's not a big deal if there's a fence there. I know how to climb. I'm going to go play in that creek. It was like calling my name. And so I climbed over the fence, but the problem was it was in cold weather, and so I was wearing a big puffy winter jacket. How many of you have ever noticed at the top of the fence there's, you know, triangles that stick up? What about on some fences, it's not even just like a smooth triangle. It's got like pokey stuff sticking out of the top. Do you know what I'm talking about? Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? You ever hurt yourself on that? So me, in elementary school, I climb over the fence, and as I'm flipping over to go towards this creek bed to explore, my jacket gets snagged on one of the pokey things on the fence, and I'm hanging from the fence like a knucklehead on my playground, and so everything's going through my head. Everyone's going to see me, and they're going to laugh at me forever, and I'm never going to live this down, okay? That's one option. The other option is nobody's going to see me, and I'm going to be stuck here for the rest of my life, and everyone's going to go back in, and they're going to be like, where's Jeff O'Connor? And then they're going to go, I don't know where he is. And then they're just going to go about their lives and no one's ever going to find me and I'm going to die. So I started panicking and I'm wiggling back and forth. And then all of a sudden it let loose, except for the way it let loose was it tore my winter jacket. And all of a sudden this great adventure over the fence and into this creek bed, this exploration going beyond those boundaries that was supposed to be so awesome turned not awesome because I was going to have to explain to my mother why I ripped my nice winter jacket and why she was going to have to sew it. And why were you climbing over the fence when you're at recess? You know you're not supposed to do that, right? There's something about us that we see like boundaries and we just want what's on the other side of them. Anybody ever feel that way? Okay, kids, does it ever feel like your whole life is just people telling you what to do? Does it feel like your whole life is just people telling you, you got to clean this, and you can't do that, and you got to go here, and then you got to go to school, and then you get to school, and your backpack has to go on this hook, and then you got to get in line, and you got to stand in a certain order, and you can't get too close, and like an inmate, you just got to eyes straight forward and just keep walking, and like this is your life. You're just told where to go and what to do over and over and over again, and there's something in us that feels like, man, if I could just get over the fence, if I could just break out of what everybody else is wanting me to do, then I would be able to live the good life. But the reality of it is, the reason why we have fences, the reason why we have rules, and the reason why we have instructions, kids and teenagers, this isn't for you specifically, but this should hit home a little bit, all right? The reason why there are rules is because for your protection. It's for your good. It comes from a place of love. And so you don't want to take a bath, but your mom knows that you smell. She doesn't want you to be the stinky kid at school, and so she makes you take a bath because she cares about you. And you just go, well, I don't want to take a bath. Who likes bath time? Anybody? Really? Wow, we got some good kids. That don't. That's my kid raising his hand. That's baloney. I'm not buying that, all right? Okay, so here's the verse that I want to read to you this morning for you kids, all right? The verse is this. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. And it says, children, obey your parents as you would the Lord. Obey your parents as you would the Lord. And I want to just say to you kids, on behalf of your parents, on behalf of adults, the reason why they give directives, the reason why they use their authority in being in charge of you the way that they do is because they care about you and they want what's best for you. And so that's one of the reasons why God says that you need to trust your parents and you need to be obedient to them. But there's another piece to it. That verse says, children, obey your parents as you would the Lord. How many of you guys know that we're not in charge of our own lives? As kids, you know that because your parents are in charge of your life. But how many of you know I'm not actually in charge of my own life? And it's not just because I'm married, if you know what I mean. Even as adults, we're not in charge of our own lives because God is in charge. He's the authority over our lives. And so even as an adult, I have to learn to be obedient to God. And so that verse says, kids, obey your parents in the same way that you obey the Lord. Because as kids, we want to teach you early on what it's like to have a posture. Do you know what a posture is? Posture is like if you hunch your back like this and you don't stand up straight, that's having bad posture, okay? So good posture, standing up straight like this. But there are other postures. You can bow before someone or kneel before someone. That's another posture that you can have. And so our posture before God needs to be that we would be obedient to God. The phrase that we use is that our answer would be yes before we even know what the question is. That God says, go to this place, and we say, yes, God, I'll do it. God says, do these things, and we say, yes, God, I may not understand it, but I'll do it. And so learning to obey your parents actually helps teach you to obey your heavenly Father. And parents aren't perfect. Every parent makes mistakes. I see some teenagers nudging their parents right now. Every parent makes mistakes. But the one who doesn't make mistakes is God. And so we have to learn to submit and to surrender to him. And part of that process is surrendering to our parents. It's obeying our parents and doing what they tell us to do. We have a phrase in our house that we use, and I borrowed it, stole it, whatever you want to say, from some pastor. I don't even remember who. I think it was Andy Stanley. But we have our kids. If they don't understand something and they don't want to do it, the answer is always yes, but why? Because we want to learn from an early age that our answer is not, well, why should I have to take a bath? Well, why should I have to do this? It doesn't make sense to me. Explain to me why. It's okay to have questions, but the answer always needs to be yes, even when we don't understand it. And so in our house, we say, yes, but could you help me understand? Could you explain why I have to do the thing that I have to do? Okay? So here's what I want us to do. We're going to close in prayer before we do baptisms this morning. And I want a couple representatives from multiple generations to come up here. I can't see here very well. This thing's getting in the way. So I'm scanning the crowd right now. John and Kristen, would you mind coming up? You're not going to do anything. We're just going to pray together. I just want a representative of some different generations. So let's see. Who else can I get? Miguel, you want to come up here? That would be awesome. Who's a grandma or a grandpa in this place that wants to come on up here? Put your hands down here. You want to come up here? All right, represent the grandmas and the grandpas. All right. We've got a young parent. Anybody in here? April. You don't have to do anything, all right? Just representative, okay? So come on in here. We're going to pray together. I want everyone to stand up to on your feet because this is proactive. You're not just going to listen to me pray, but we're going to pray together. Now, don't be shy. Everybody scoot in nice and tight. Scoot in nice and tight, all right? Let's pray for our church that we would learn to be a movement of people that doesn't matter from the youngest to the oldest, that we invest in each other, we learn from each other, that we care for each other the way that God intends for us to do. So let's pray. God, we thank you so much this morning for the variety of experience that's in this room, the variety of perspective. Lord, we thank you for children from very young ages all the way up to people that are long in years, many decades of experience and understanding and perspective, and for everything in between. And God, we pray this morning, would you cause our hearts to be inclined to you? And then God, we pray that as you incline our hearts to you, would you incline our hearts towards one another? God, give us an eye towards the generations that have gone before us, and an eye that towards the generations that come behind us, God, that we would learn from, invest in, care for, pay attention to all the generations outside of our own. God, we ask, knit us into a beautiful faith community, and we ask for that in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.